B-Pod Studios.
From Comcast, the 7 o'clock hour was brought to you by the wonderful people of Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest Mobile Platform. Easy, convenient, and secure. Live life, stay connected with Univest Bank. And on the line with us right now from the Philadelphia Inquirer, Mike Sielski. Mike, good morning, sir.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
We're feeling good today. We're discussing all things on the docket. A lot to get into from the Phillies, the Sixers, Chris Long in the news again, and not just for retiring. But I want to start with the Phillies. The battle of the Coles last night in Chicago. Cole Irvin was looking good early, and then just an absolute bomb of a home run from Anthony Rizzo. What are your expectations, or have you seen enough from Cole Irvin to kind of determine what he is going to be in the early goings of his career?
No, not really. I mean, a pitcher with Irvin's kind of style and stuff has a very thin margin for error. You saw that on the Rizzo home run. You know, that's a well-placed fastball is still the best pitch in baseball. And that fastball can be 85 miles an hour. It can be 95. It can be 105. That was not a well-placed fastball. It was after Rizzo hit it, but not before. And, you know, unless Cole Irvin is going to be Tom Glavine or Greg Maddux in terms of his location, you're going to run into that from time to time. You know, it's funny. I have a family member who likes the kid that he likes pitchers who have an idea out there, who, like, are able to baffle hitters with, their stuff and, you know, go Jamie Moyer on guys. But, you know, you really got to be special to be able to do that. And, I don't know yet that we know that Cole Irvin is that special.
What do you think? I mean, speaking of special, we know that when Cole Hamels was here and throughout his career, he's been a very special pitcher. I don't know if you saw the story from Jim Salisbury, Cole Hamels asking for the David Montgomery patch from the Phillies. What did you make of that?
That was a very nice gesture. I mean, you would be hard-pressed, and you guys know this, you would be hard-pressed to find anyone who didn't come in contact with David Montgomery, who didn't feel a significant measure of affection for the man. And that goes doubly, I would imagine, for anybody within the Phillies organization who spent significant time there. And so it didn't surprise me with respect to what, you know, Cole Hamels did there. I think it does speak to who Cole Hamels is to a degree. I think it speaks much more loudly about who David Montgomery was as a man.
Speaking with Mike Sielski, the Philadelphia Inquirer. Mike, I'm going to almost go a Seinfeld reference here a little bit, but modernize it a little bit. It's not a hot take if you believe it. And my hot take, and I really believe this, my thing is, this is a must-win today for the Phillies. I know it's May. I know it's ridiculous. And I know, in the grand scheme of things, I'm wrong. But it would certainly make me feel a lot better if they split with the Cubs going into Milwaukee, and then they got the Dodgers, and they got just such a tough schedule. It would just make me feel a lot better. So all I'll ask you about today's game with Aaron Nola on the hill against John Lester, how important can a win be with this series right here against the Cubs on May 23rd?
I think you are doing what a lot of sports fans and sports followers do these days, Mark, which is you are NFLizing other sports.
Fair.
You know, there are only 16 games in an NFL season, so it's totally appropriate to go nuts and get nervous over any one single game. I understand where you're coming from. It's a great pitching matchup. It's going to be a cool game. You know, if you're a Phillies fan, you're optimistic that Nola can continue pitching well based on what he's done lately, particularly in his last start. But I think the idea that we turn to the sky is falling and, you know, look out for the Braves, you know, in mid-May or late May, because they've lost 3 out of 4 to one of the best teams in baseball and still have some tough games coming up. I think we got to pump the brakes here. I'm not saying they're going to run away with the division. I'm not saying the game doesn't matter. I'm saying it's, you know, it's May 24th or whatever day it is. Let's all calm down.
Mike, I got to ask you about Chris Long and the stuff that came out yesterday and him admitting that, yeah, he smoked pot during his NFL career, and specifically, you know, when he mentioned the Eagles. And it's funny, one of the headlines I read on a website today is NFL Man of the Year, Chris Long admits to, you know, smoking pot. How does it affect you? You know, we've been throwing it around all morning that maybe things have changed over the years. But how do you, when you hear about it, how does it hit you as far as NFL players going that route?
It doesn't, Bobby. It really doesn't. I mean, I kind of assume at this point that there are any number of NFL players who are smoking pot to manage pain. I mean, you know, you guys know this. Gosh, Trey can speak to this better than any of us right now. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't appreciate what those guys put their bodies through. You know, you certainly can't appreciate it unless you experience it. And you really can't even get a taste for it until you stand on the sideline during a game and watch the measure of physicality that is required and the damage that is done to their bodies. And if some of them are smoking pot to manage pain, I'm not going to blame them for that. It might be the way that they, it works best for them to be able to get up in the morning and move around during the day. I mean, my God, look at the condition that some of, you know, some ex-players are in their 50s and 60s and 70s. You know, if Chris Long felt the need to do that, number one, I guarantee you he is one of many, many, many current NFL players who is doing that. And two, I'm not going to hold it against him, because what he's putting his body through for as long as he put it through, you know, that damage and that pain, if he wants to do that, that's on him, and I'm not going to begrudge him that.
So the more and more this comes out, Mike, specifically with NFL players, we'll just stay there for now. Do you see the NFL having a change in policy, perhaps, or I'll put it even on you, what would you do to change a policy?
Well, I think the issue gets a little tricky, because I do think that there is this kind of presumption that pot is totally harmless. And if you do some reading about the drug nowadays, it is getting more and more potent. You know, so the idea that it's just, oh, okay, well, I go home and I you know, take a couple puffs and that eases my mind and helps me relax a little bit. That's not always true, you know, but by the same token, I'm not sure, you know, I don't trust the NFL at any level when it comes to kind of legislating stuff that happens off the field like that. You know, we've seen this with respect to domestic violence. We've seen this with other aspects off the field. They get very clumsy and they get into areas where, you know, their jurisdiction kind of, it's beyond their jurisdiction. Now, I understand that the guys may be doing this, you know, to help them play, but I wonder how far the NFL should go beyond whatever, you know, the criminal laws are in a particular state. I mean, it's a really complex issue. And as I said, I get very, you know, nervous, I guess, whenever the NFL starts to stretch out into areas beyond whatever's going on the football field.
Speaking with Mike Sielski, the Philadelphia Inquirer, I want to transition now to the basketball world. Joel Embiid, second all defensive team in the NBA. Any surprise there for you?
No. I mean, I think he's, you know, a terrific defensive center. I think you saw the difference in that, obviously, in the playoffs, particularly against the Toronto Raptors when he was on the floor and when he wasn't. You know, his rim protection was a big reason that they won the three games in the series that they won. You know, and I think some of this is reputation-based. You know, Joel hasn't been doing it as long as some other guys have, so I'm sure that plays a little bit into the voting. But no, I don't think it was any surprise at all.
So Rudy Gobert, what does he got to do to beat out a guy like Rudy Gobert? Is it something where you feel he maybe needs to take his talent more seriously, be in better shape? I mean, all the almost cliche knocks on Joel Embiid's game right now. What does he have to do to make that first team and be what he wants to be, which is an all-defensive player?
I think he's just got to be around a little bit longer. I mean, you know, I think Gobert is a very good defensive center. He's been in the league longer than Joel Embiid has. I think, you know, all those things that you mentioned, Mark, you know, take care of his body, you know, become more diligent about his work habits. He's got to do those things anyway. You don't do those things just so you can be on the first team, all defensive team. He's got to do those things anyway. And if he does them, then, you know, the honors and the accolades and the victories and the success will come as a natural byproduct of that.
Mike, where do you stand on milk?
Well, I'm a favor of milk. I'm very pro milk.
But milk is delicious, is it not?
Yes, it is.
We had a heated debate earlier about the how great milk can be in our lives. Jamie Lynch seems to be the only monster here that does not enjoy a nice glass of milk.
I like milk in all its forms. I like chocolate milk. I like strawberry milk. I like low-fat milk. I like whole milk.
Breast milk?
I even use skim milk.
That was Bob Cooney asking.
Well, because Jamie, I think Jamie, have you partaken in breast
my
milk?
My friend accidentally tricked me into drinking his wife's breast milk.
I will say I was there. It was at his bachelor party. It was hilarious.
He siphoned it from his wife, kept it on ice, drove it from Philadelphia to Charleston, South Carolina, and told me it was a White Russian shot, and yeah.
Oh, Jamie, I'm so sorry.
It was a traumatic experience.
Yeah, I'll bet.
But
I'll
me
bet.
And his wife, I feel like, are closer than ever.
Yeah, you're definitely closer than ever.
I'm sure your buddy will appreciate that.
Mike Sielski, always great catching up with you, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Take it easy. Mike Sielski right there. Again,
the best part of that story, though, was my buddy Sasso, if you remember, watched me do the shot, watched my reaction when my buddy told me it was his wife's breast milk, and then got convinced to do the same shot about 2.5 hours later.
He's like, I want to taste it.
How much damn
no, he totally forgot.
He was like, I'll do a White Russian shot.
How much breast milk did your friend bring that you could do multiple shots
Jamie,
of
Jamie, your bachelor party with that keg of breast milk? Oh, let me tell you, that was an amazing experience we all had.
It was that was something.
I think I'm going to get sick.
I wouldn't recommend it.
How do we not get that on tape? I take full responsibility. I was a viewer. I should have. Anyway, 610-632-0975. All right, I got to tell you a weird story about milk coming up in a minute. And it does involve the non-carver from a man we talked about but months ago now, it seems like. We'll get into that. And then we'll get into this story about Ben Simmons that has come in regarding Ben's jump shot, obviously. And then other things said by a former NBAer. And we'll get into that because some of it is just, it's a little intense. And it sparks a debate that I feel a lot of people don't even know about. A lot of people don't even know this debate exists. Or this, I don't know, Trey, what would be a good word for it? Divide exists within a community. And we'll get into it in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Wildwood Board, if you want to jump on, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatics, 8:11.
Here's why you need a little Delilahs in your life. Why not watch the games with a little more entertainment? I'm not talking looking at your phone between plays type of entertainment. I'm talking real entertainment, Delilahs kind of entertainment. When we go to the games, we don't want the entertainment to end when the buzzer sounds. That's why I head to Delilahs. It's been voted America's number one gentleman's club. Delilahs is the after party for every win or loss. Just bring your ticket after every home baseball game and you'll get free entry into the best after party in town. You don't even need to wait until after the game is over. At every home game, there's Coors Light specials during every baseball game. Grab the crew and come down to be surrounded by food, drinks, and the most beautiful showgirls. Just off Delaware Ave on Spring Garden, Delilahs is the perfect place to keep your heart racing before, during, or after the game. Get all the details at Delilahs.com. Delilahs, always on top.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning, 610-632-0975. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan on the updates for us today. Sam Wilson is down Florida, enjoying herself. God bless her. Good for her. Yeah. Little vacay.
Just hanging. Just a little tan.
What's that? What is this thing you speak of, vacay?
Are we off Monday? Do we know yet?
Yes. Yeah, we're off Monday.
We are?
Yeah. Yes.
I think I'll just come in anyway.
I was cutting up the yesterday's podcast and I made my I think second ever Sam Wilson drop.
Oh yeah?
I kind of want to save it for her to be back to play it.
Oh, unveil it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good idea.
I feel like I'd be, you know, doing it behind her back if she wasn't here. And I don't want to do that.
Being that I think I know what the soundbite is, it's a good way to put it.
Yeah,
Jamie.
Yeah.
So I was getting to this, but before we go any further, actually, some NFL news. Trey, and you saw this as well, and I saw this by Bleeding Green Nation.
Yes.
And they put out the story from The Athletic that links the Philadelphia Eagles to possibly acquiring Jadeveon Clowney.
Huh?
Is that a spicy meatball?
That's pretty spicy.
Now, here's the deal. This is one of those stories.
Don't you go throwing bad news on it.
Well,
don't you
just,
do it.
Look, I joked about a hot take with Mike Sielski. It's not a hot take, if you believe it. But this is a little bit of a... It's clickbait, I think. Because, look, they're saying it's possible.
I mean, anything's possible.
They're very low.
All right, Kevin Garnett.
The odds of...
Anything is possible!
The odds... It says the odds are very low, but they're not zero. All right, thanks.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, it comes down...
So like, you have a chance.
So they got a headline out of that?
Bada boop, bada beep. There you go.
Not zero?
Not zero.
Yeah, not zero.
I'm not going to hang my hat on that.
It's not for him to hang the hat on.
Who did we just?
But it's not zero.
Who did we just poop? Gerald McCoy.
Yeah,
we were just like, not a chance. And I was like, Jadeveon Clowney. All right, hold my beer.
Yeah.
So all right.
But, I mean, he would be phenomenal.
He would be awesome
with these defensive tackles.
Yeah.
With these defensive tackles.
Oh man,
and Derek Barnett on the other side.
Yeah, that's what you need.
All right. Oh, you look at you.
I like his game.
You're perfect.
He's only 26.
Yeah, I like his game.
It seems like he's been in the league a while, doesn't it? It seems like that hit in the, what was it, the Rose Bowl or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. It seems like it was forever ago.
Oh, that was one of the most, that was just one of the most incredible things.
He has definitely emerged as being a craftier pass rusher. At first, I really didn't like his game, but, you know, he's growing on me.
Did you think he was a one highlight wonder?
Yeah, and like someone that was afraid to initiate the fight. So he was more of a speed rusher, just always trying to take edge. But I think he has developed a nice inside move. He's used that speed rush to kind of help him where he can get a tackle bailing and then bam, he'll take you inside.
I think it was that inside move that he got the penalty on Nick Foles. Yeah. I think it was the second play. Foles came in this year and he got the roughing the passer on a big third down and extended the drive, which I believe they scored on.
Yes.
But yeah, he has evolved as a pass rusher.
And he's someone that you can put around, that you can have him one of those roving DNs, a guy that you can stand him up at in the middle linebacker, have him moving around, and then bam, let him rush.
All right. I would obviously love to see this happen.
No, and awesome.
You get a defensive end like that with these DTs, you're good to go.
Yeah.
I mean, just forget about it. Just give us a Lombardi trophy now. How about that? So I'm talking to an 11-year-old the other day, and I was talking about this milk story, right? I'm at a party, like a family type of party. It's a 40-year-old person's birthday party, right? And they had some nieces and nephews in from out of town. And I'm talking to this kid. I was sitting with his grandparents, who I know a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there and I'm having a conversation with him. And the kid comes over. And we start, you know, they introduce me to their grandson, really nice kid from Cincinnati. And he, the first weird thing that came about was that he's from Cincinnati. And his school does not have a baseball team.
Hmm. How old is he? 11?
11 years old.
Well, my grade school didn't either.
Yeah, the grade schools around me don't have baseball teams. At
I had to go Babe Ruth League for
parks and recreation.
Travel, yeah. And your mind is in a pretzel right now.
Yeah, like the school teams usually don't happen until middle school.
All right, now, Bob, I know you went to school in Jersey, but Trey, you went to school in America, right?
Yes.
Okay.
How did you not have a baseball team?
We didn't have a team for our schools.
Yeah, Greyhound Academy did not have a baseball team.
Now, when I went to school, it was a different time now, because we had elementary school was from K to 6, and then we had a 7th grade center, and then you went to a middle school, which was 8th and 9th, and then high school was the rest.
Oh, okay. I've heard of that.
Yeah.
But for grade school in America, now I understand that like public schools sometimes don't have like a public school team. But like at Mount Carmel, I went to Mount Carmel in Doylestown, and we had a baseball team.
I went to Greyhound Academy in Yardley.
And no baseball team.
We had nothing.
What the hell?
We had a basketball team.
He went to academies all his life.
That was pretty nice.
Academies.
Nuns aren't so nice.
That's so un-American.
Yeah, it was weird.
Did not have a baseball team.
But I never thought about it until now.
But Cincinnati's where they have the parade to start the season every year. Like, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Cincinnati did not have a baseball team for a grade school. Are you kidding me? So that struck
that's
me as weird.
League, isn't it? I mean, that's...
Yes, it's supposed to be.
What you use
but you
for.
Don't. Yeah, you don't have a school
None
team
None of these
associated.
Schools around here have a...
I don't know of a school in the area that has a baseball team.
For grade school.
Our Lady of Mount
Under
Carmel.
High school.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel. There you go.
And who would you guys play?
Yeah, right.
Themselves.
We'd scrimmage
You're
a lot.
Playing with your dinghy?
The nuns?
We scrimmaged a lot, right? Sisters of the Poor. Right?
But would you play like Babe Ruth Little League teams?
No, we played other schools' teams.
Huh.
How long ago were you in grammar school, dude?
1881. No, I was in grammar school. This is 19...
Let's get Our Lady Mount Carmel on the horn. I guarantee they don't have a baseball team anymore.
Oh, anymore. Yeah, I don't know about that. I can honestly tell you, I haven't been to a grade school game.
No, honestly, I'm not being wise-ass here, but
I know
like,
they got
my
a basketball
oldest,
team.
My oldest is in his young 20s, and he played baseball. There was no
local baseball teams associated with schools at all growing up.
Really?
Before high school, no.
This bothers me.
It was all rec leagues, like Trey said, and then travel, and then you go to Little League in Babe Ruth, and he played all the way up until American Legion.
You know, now that you say it, if I did play, because I would sometimes do both, I'd play like the intramural league and play for the school, just so I could, you know, have double the games, right?
Sure. Or two uniforms?
Yeah. Two. One was a t-shirt that said, yeah, like, giant food store on it, okay? The other, the other was, it said OLMC across the chest, right? Yeah. I wore it with pride.
Yeah.
But like, it was like, now that you're saying it though, I think about my public school friends, and yeah, they're like Linden Elementary, whatever, didn't have the Linden, you know, Knights or whatever the hell it was. So okay, so that kind of makes sense. But like, as a Catholic school kid, we had a baseball team. We played other Catholic school teams. So maybe it was just a private school thing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but just bothered me that in Cincinnati of all places where they have that. Anyway, that's not even the weirdest thing.
Okay, sorry.
So the non-Carver, and in case you haven't, you didn't hear me tease it earlier, you heard me maybe tell this story a couple of months back where I was over a friend's house for dinner, a little group party type of thing, a little dinner party type thing, and his wife goes to carve the bird, and she looks at me, well, first she looks at her husband, and he defers the carving responsibilities to me in his own home. All right, maybe the guy's not a culinary guy, fine, right? And he knows I am. I'll help out if I can help out.
Mm-hmm.
But then he didn't sit at the head of his own table and offered it to me. That, I feel like I own the house then. No, I'm not sitting at, that's your table, you have that seat, right? So the same guy, the non-carver, right, he's at the same party. And he goes inside the house at one point, because it was a backyard party, he goes inside the house, and this 11-year-old kid with no baseball team, he's sitting at the table drinking a glass of milk.
With the kid?
No, just the 11-year-old kid sitting at the table drinking a glass of milk. By the way, the vast majority of adults at this party are drinking, and they're drinking heavily, all right? And the non-carver is one of them, all right? So he goes in, and he sees, and this guy is, you know, like 36-ish, I guess, and he's in our age range, and he looks at the kid sitting at the table, half in the bag, the guy, right, the non-carver, not the kid, and he goes, huh, milk. Seems like a really good idea right now. He goes, do you mind if I sit down and pour myself a glass of milk? And the 11-year-old kid looked at this guy and was like,
stranger danger.
Milk was a bad choice.
And he goes, yeah, sure, by all means, have a seat. Mm-hmm. Pull up a chair. The 11-year-old goes, I was walking by when this happened. The 11-year-old goes, pull up a chair. And they have a glass of milk together with my buddy, half in the bag, 11-year-old kid, totally sober, as you would assume, and they have a conversation about life.
I would think that's awesome. Alcohol and milking, or working in a glass of milk is a bad combination.
Awful.
What was non-carver drinking to get half in the bag? Was it just beer or?
Beer, I believe it was
okay.
Just beer.
Yeah, that's. If you're drinking something lighter, maybe a milk, okay, but no. Beer and milk?
I felt like I needed to give an update on the non-carver and what was going on there.
Yeah, my 12-year-old the other day came to me. He's like, hey, Dad, are you still doing 69 stuff? And I'm like, son, what are you talking about, man? He's like, yeah, because I was playing a video game and I had 69 bullets left in my thing. And I was like, oh, okay.
Nice.
Do you want me to take pictures of it? Don't worry about that. You can.
Well, what we have done on this program.
We're filming the minds of youngsters.
Yeah, my wife is looking at me.
Sorry,
like,
Rosa.
Yeah.
You see what you're doing? Do you see what you're doing?
Don't listen to us, Jake.
Yeah. No, but like on a scale of 1 to 10, how weird is a guy just pulling up a chair next to an 11-year-old kid and they're both enjoying a glass of milk?
About an 11.
And I was sitting there for a minute and I go, is the non-carver still inside having a glass of milk with the kid? And then he came back out and finished like the rest of the beers and whatever. All right, good for him, I guess.
Probably was on the potty later that night. If I had to guess.
I'm not kidding you. His philosophy was that the milk will help soak up the alcohol.
How about you just eat? That doesn't make sense.
I agree with you. Bob, I agree. Bob, Jamie, I agree on all points. 610-632-0975. Now, there's this other thing I wanted to get into with you guys today, and Bob and Jamie, I heard you guys getting into this a little bit in the 5 o'clock hour. And Trey, I know we kicked it around a little bit before the show. Mm-hmm. But this is interesting. Now, Jamie, who is this quote from?
Catino Mobley, who's actually from Philadelphia.
Yeah, okay.
Cardinal Doherty alum.
Yes, okay.
I loved his game. He ended up having a nice NBA career. I didn't look at the years. He had to have played like 12 years.
Yeah, he was cut short. He got a heart condition, and he had to retire. I think he was with Houston at the time, and he had to retire because of the heart condition.
Yeah, I always loved his game.
I always loved his game, and still, to this day, I think one of the best names ever in sports.
Catino Mobley.
Catino Mobley.
It's pretty strong.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty solid. So he had I guess you, I don't know if you could color it a hot take or what, but
something.
He went off on Ben Simmons a little bit.
Yeah, Michael Rapaport podcast.
He's not taking part in the big three, is he?
He was.
Okay.
I don't know if he still is.
All right. So what does Ketino Mobley have nowadays when it comes to Ben Simmons' game?
I think he's a very arrogant individual. Just watching his whole person, how he's just very matter of fact, like, I don't have to work on my jump shot. For what? I'm 6'10", light skinned, and can dunk the ball. I think that's a disrespect to the history of the NBA. But he's young. Sometimes you come in cocky, and something has to humble you.
I agree with all points. And the thing that jumped out at me was one of the things that jumped out, I think, at a lot of people, which was the light-skinned.
Yeah.
And this is what I was talking about. Oh, there's a little bit of a divide in the African American community. Is there not
trying to divide?
What would you say?
I don't know. It depends on how you are with it. I guess when let's see, how can we get into this? I guess it was we considered light skin would be you like you were saying. All right, it shows that maybe. I don't know. You know, but it would be like saying like the house Negro. Or considered to, compared to the field hands.
Right. You're saying like.
Back in the slavery times, you know. So, you know, it was always kind of looked at as like, oh, that's the house Negro. You know what I'm saying? Right. Instead of, you know, being one of the ones that just.
Highbrow.
Yeah.
You look at it, highbrow would be, I guess, a more, I don't know, another way to say
or
it.
Or even more of a mixed race.
Right.
You know, where somewhere along the lines it was, you know.
And so that's what Tino's saying.
Real quick, was it derogatory?
The way he used it, yeah.
Yeah, it seems personal.
Okay, yeah, all right.
It seems like a personal attack more than a critique of his game.
My first thought was...
Or at least that's what people will remember the quote as.
I was like, my first thought was like, well, I'm light-skinned, but what the hell? Like, what's the problem? And then I went back to conversations I've had with friends of mine that are African-American, and I'm like, oh, they're talking... He means the light-skinned brother. He means someone that... It almost feels as if they're superior because they're lighter skinned.
Yeah, yeah. Tyrone tweeted at me and said that sometimes the light skinned comment is a referral to being arrogant or cocky, and that it dates back to the biracialness and some, you know, being frowned upon by some.
And I was like, damn, Ketino.
Yeah, like that was. Because his critique is more than fair. If he had just left the light-skinned comment out of it, then we're talking about his comments about Ben's game, but he threw that in, and then people focus on that rather than the actual critique.
Ah.
Like, you know what I mean? I think he did himself harm, because he was making a valid point.
Right.
But now we're talking about the comment about the light skin instead of the critique.
And people are going to go, oh, well, he's being racial, and it's actually he's being racial within a race. Like,
right.
He's not making, it's there is a difference.
I never heard the light skin thing growing up.
Okay.
And I went to a school that was 50-50 black and white. It wasn't any, you know, I never heard of the light skin thing. But I think it's making a comeback, not in a derogatory way. Like, I think kids now are like, they just say it matter-of-factly. It's weird. It's hard to explain, but I don't even want to get
it takes away because
it's
like
weird.
I was reading, and I was like, oh, you keep making your points, Katie. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
don't go there. What is happening right there?
Yeah.
So that's out there with Ben Simmons now. It's another thing. Now, page six, you're a loyal reader, Jamie, I understand. probably a more pressing story is that it seems official now. I thought they might have
I could have broken this about 2.5 months ago.
Well, I thought there was a little heartbeat still left. Like, the heartbeats were getting...
Once she was out of Coachella with, you know, these rapper types and other celebrities and the Haddad kid and apparently Harry Styles maybe somewhere there was a cross... whatever.
All right. So
she's enjoying her young life.
Ben Simmons and Kendall Jenner officially.
Yeah.
It's over.
It's over. Man, according to page six.
Because, you know, it looked like he was a little down at one point.
Yeah.
His confidence
was
lacking.
She hadn't been in a game in like 3 months.
And that's how you know.
And she was in New York a couple of those times because I stalked. So it could have easily attended a game had she had chosen. So I think this is kind of old news that just hit the mainstream.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
That's very unfortunate.
Let's be absent next year, Ben, and just focus on playoffs.
There you go.
Yeah.
People are telling me that I am thinking of CYO sports with it when I think of schools having their own teams.
Okay.
And that's what I played.
Yeah.
That was CYO kid.
Yeah.
So. And how about this? This is a gentleman that I've known for some years now. Bob, you wanted to call Mount Carmel? Guess what? Mount Carmel called us.
I love it.
On the line with us right now, Mr. Tim Carroll himself, our lady Mount Carmel. Tim, what's happening, brother?
There you go, Mark. Hey, just to set the record straight, it's been a while since we've had a team. But, hey, we're always looking for a coach if you're interested. You know?
You're not going to play against anybody, but you're looking for a coach. Mark's right up your alley,
Tim. Tim, hold on. This is heartbreaking for me because I was an alum. I played eighth grade at Mount Carmel. There, a little baseball. When was the last time we had a season?
It's been about 5 years.
Actually. Oh, my goodness. I'm heartbroken over this. I was the fourth string catcher on our team.
Yeah, we had so much depth then. Absolutely,
we had a depth kid.
First string bench.
That's right. Me and Tom White riding the pine, and Mike DeCicco handling business whenever Matt Lafferty needed a break or anything like that. These are big names, guys. I don't expect you to understand. How's the rest of the program though? How's the basketball?
Basketball's great. We got all kinds of good stuff. Basketball. We got track. We got volleyball. All kinds of stuff. We just need to get the baseball program back on track. But you guys are right. There's not many teams that programs up this way to have baseball anymore.
Is this America anymore, Tim? What's going on?
Lacrosse, baby.
Lacrosse is great. I will say that. And that's why people should make sure they buy their season tickets to the Philadelphia Wings. But let me just say this.
Shameless. You are shameless.
What do you want from me?
You see what we put up with here, Tim?
Believe me, he's put up with it for longer. Believe me. Tim, I appreciate you calling in. You give my best to all my guys down there. Coach Mayo, obviously. Coach Carty. Those guys are great. You know, I love those guys. And you guys do a great job. You guys do an awesome job.
All right, you too, guys.
All right, thanks so much, Tim. Appreciate it, man. That breaks my heart a little bit when you find out your grade school's baseball team's gone.
Yeah, it was fun. When one of my kids first entered grammar school, middle school, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, and they just had disbanded the basketball team like a year or two before that, and I was heartbroken. So how can you not have a basketball team in grammar school? But it was a, you know, budgetary cut type of thing, and now it's rare for public schools now to have even basketball teams, which was such a big thing growing up. I think a lot of the Catholic schools still do, but a lot of public schools don't where I am.
Someone's tweeting me right now that there was a St. Jude kid. Mike is tweeting me saying that he played baseball against Mount Carmel. So at least I know that, yeah, we did play against other CYO teams.
Now we're talking Mount Carmel where? Which Mount
Doylestown.
Carmel?
Doylestown.
In Doylestown, yeah. Okay, yeah.
But we played the other Mount Carmel from some neighbor. I think it's Northeast Philly. I could be totally wrong. Whatever.
There's a Mount Carmel everywhere.
There's a Mount Carmel everywhere. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975.
Did you play against the Academy?
I don't think we played against the team.
Did you have Toastmasters at the Academy?
I played the Console Rock Little League.
How about the debate club?
Doylestown had DAA, Doylestown Athletic Association.
Okay. Yeah. I was Console Rock.
As we called it, the association. Whatever. We had that whole thing. That was the intramural league, if you will. Coming up in a few, Chris Long had some very interesting things to say about the NFL and their drug policy. It is our Twitter poll today brought to you by Window Nation. If you're searching for windows, shop windownation.com and take advantage of their 50% off sale on any style window. Plus, make no down payment, no payments, no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Jamie, do you have that poll in front of you by chance? And maybe give us an update. We asked the question, basically, very simple, Trey. Mm-hmm. Are you upset? And we all went around the horn and said nope to answer this question.
Yeah.
Are you upset when you see an NFL player like Chris Long, for instance, or anyone else? Are you upset when you see that they have used marijuana or use marijuana?
Wow, this is not budging at all.
What are we at now?
So we have almost 3,000 votes. 91% say nope. They have no problem with an athlete smoking marijuana.
We were 100% on this show. Nope. Yep. And the voting audience is 91%.
I'm stunned.
Nope.
Rarely do you get into the 90s with any poll.
But this proves my point.
Yeah.
It's shifted. We started the show by making the point that people aren't upset anymore. You might see these headlines try to grab you. Oh, people are going to be incensed when they find out so-and-so is smoking marijuana.
Yeah, Chris Long was joking about it on Twitter, being like, oh, now I have to explain to my son, my 4-year-old son who saw this on Twitter, you know, making jokes.
And the one headline I saw on its website, NFL Man of the Year, yeah. Chris Long admits it. Like, really?
I know what you're doing.
Yeah,
we know what you're doing. All right, coming up, I promise this, and I'm going to get to it in this next segment. I'll give you my favorite three responses to Chris Long's story.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to hear it.
As it was posted on Pro Football Talk's Twitter page. Chris himself even responded to some of these.
Okay.
And it's just nothing short of spectacular.
Oh, that's good.
Time of the Fanatic is 8:41.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. About 10 minutes, we're going to talk to Ricky Vitalico.
Babies.
Phillies. It was great. And Trey, was it not great just to hear one of their own call them that?
Yeah, because if I say something, they're like, oh, look at the football player.
Oh, tough guy.
Oh, tough guy.
We don't have contact on every play.
You don't know what it feels like to throw an inning. And 11 pitches for warm-ups. You know nothing. The struggle is real.
It hurts to warm up sometimes, Trey.
I know it does.
To warm up.
Yeah.
And in Ricky's defense, and he'll get into this when we have him on, but in his defense, he wasn't just talking about Philly's bullpen arms. Mm-hmm. He was talking about all bullpen arms.
Everybody
he was talking about. So we'll get Ricky's take on what happened last night with the Phils and Cole Hamels and Cole Irvin. I look at Cole Irvin, and I hate this term, but I feel like it applies. Bit of a junk baller.
Oh, not a bit. I would even go full junk baller.
he doesn't have that, you know, blow him away stuff, whatever. And as Mike Sielski told us about an hour ago, when it comes to the well placed fastball, the best pitch in baseball and stuff, still, the guy, a lot of flat. There's a lot of flat. Look, he's young, he's maturing and all that stuff. You got to wait. But, man, that pitch had zero movement on it. That 3-0 pitch to Anthony Rizzo that is just still traveling.
Rizzo was sitting on his back foot. I don't think he put any weight on his front foot, Mark. I think he was left-handed.
Yeah, Lansdale, I think it was.
Yeah. And he's just sitting there like, yeah, okay, I know it's coming. I think all of us could have hit that out.
I was pretty terrible.
I would like to think I could.
Did you not hear him at one of my grade schools?
Yeah, I was in eighth grade,
I messed around and got in a batting cage with this young lady. She was a softball pitcher. I think I fractured my wrist.
Swinging?
Yeah.
Really?
I didn't even touch the ball.
That's amazing. I think it's really hard to hit those. She was at Florida State with your pitcher?
I was I was down in Jacksonville.
Okay.
So this is when I was down in Jacksonville with the Jags, and I was in a place training, and this guy, I think it was one of his daughters, she was a pitcher at Villanova, and then the other one was going to Florida, and man, this girl got me in that batting cage. You're like, yeah, get in the batting cage with her. I'm like, all right, yeah, let's do it, man.
Fast pitch?
Oh, she just...
It's the real deal, man.
Yeah.
It's the real deal. I mean, what are they getting into this year? And if you haven't been following the Chris Long story, it's something that I think, as we said before the break, a lot of people look at as, oh, headline grabbing. And as our audience has, I think, accurately portrayed the vast majority of people's thinking, which is 91% just don't care. They're not offended. They're not upset when they see that an athlete has used marijuana at any point or is using marijuana. I think a lot of people are also on the same page. They just don't want them using it during the sport. Well, anything that could be a performance-hindering drug, even performance-enhancing drug. I just want everything to be out there on the field, and I know this is naive, but it's not naive of me to want this. It would be naive to believe it's happening, but I just want all my athletes just to be even keel, no performance or hindering drugs while they're playing the sport. Just play. All natural, as they say. But here's some of the comments made on Pro Football Talk's Twitter feed to the story about Chris Long saying that he smoked marijuana while he was playing. Here's some of the best comments. Was he high as you know what when he donated his game checks? Was it voluntary? Did he do it openly? Here's another one. Wow, this is absolutely disgusting. I can't believe young children looked up to him. Smoking marijuana is harmful to you. Ellipses, dot, dot, dot. Now let me get back to drinking my 18-pack of Bud Light, the official beer of the NFL. Hey-o! Well played.
That was pretty good.
Well played, Jared. And then this is just my favorite because I can't stand the guy. I can't stand the look of him. Roger Goodell. Probably still going to try to suspend him 4 games. That was a good one there. That was by Dwayne. Good job, Dwayne. Good job. I think about it, and I don't think that many people get upset, as we've depicted in our Twitter poll. I don't think that many people sink their teeth into the story anymore. It's something that they just look at and go, we're good.
Yeah.
We're fine.
Yes.
Now, like I said, 9 o'clock, we're going to jump into everything with the Phillies with Ricky Pitalico. And if you watched the game yesterday, there were some great things that you saw. Some heart, tugging at the heartstrings moments. Cole Hamels asking for the David Montgomery patch that the Phillies are wearing to honor a man that he used to play for here in Philadelphia. Cole Hamels, without question, a forever Philly. But you're watching the game, and you get out of the gates early. JT Realmuto had the RBI double. Should have been a two-run double in the early goings of the game in that first inning that went into the Ivy, got stuck. I think it was Almara that put his hands up in the air, can't get it, ball's lost. Mm-hmm. So you have to stop in your tracks. Ended up costing the Phillies a 2-0 lead in the early going of it.
Why would you have something like that on the fence anyway? I mean,
tradition.
Yeah.
I know, but if the ball gets lost.
I hear you. Strictly tradition. And back in the day,
when I was young, sure. Yeah.
Like, you would have to dig for it. It went in. You didn't
really?
Oh, my God. Back in the day, if it went in there, you're scraping,
what's the day?
Scraping.
The 70s, the 80s? What are we talking about?
Yeah, somewhere along there, okay. Yeah, when I was younger. Young. yeah, I distinctly remember guys going in there like, oh, it's in the Ivy, and then frantically looking for it. And I can still see Rick Monday, used to be a center fielder for the Cubs, like, just going in there. You go in, just brushing, looking for it.
No,
yeah.
The only other time you see it, Trey, is if a ball... And I see this, I can't believe I remember that it was him. Jeff Conine in the cup of coffee he had with the Phillies. Yeah. A ball got stuck under the wall padding between the wall and the warning track. And he threw his hands up in the air, can't get it.
I remember that.
And they were like, you can totally get that. What the hell's the matter with you? But there has been instances where the ball literally has gotten stuck and he can't take it out. The ump's like tried to get it out and can't. Uh-huh. And then they roll it a ground rule double. So that happens all the time with the Ivy. And you're right. But Wrigley is one of the weirdest fields in baseball. One of the big reasons for that is it's the only stadium, it's the only ballpark where the ball doesn't have to leave the playing field to be a home run. Because it gets caught in the basket, which is before the fence.
Yeah.
Which is bonkers to me. But anyway, that happened to JT Realmuto yesterday. Should have been a 2-0 lead in the first inning. It wasn't. Third inning, Rhys Hoskins breaks out of his 0-for-12 slump. Gives the Phillies that 2-0 lead they should have had in the first inning with an RBI single. Cesar Hernandez continues to be on fire in the month of May. He made it a 3-0 game later in the third inning with an RBI single. So there you go. Cole Irvin, third inning, goes into the bottom of the third with a 3-0 lead. Feeling pretty good about life, are you not?
Yeah.
Anthony Rizzo steps up and just clocks one. Like we were talking about, it was like something from The Natural that he just blasted. An 88-mile-per-hour pitch up in the zone. He just crushed. 3-0 pitch, waiting on it. Bob, I heard you in the five. Never put any weight on his front foot.
No, just kind of sitting there waiting. Yeah.
He was having a cup of tea while he was waiting for that. And then, so that ties the game at 3-3 in the third inning. JT Realmuto steps up again in the fourth inning. Base is loaded. Flies out to right field, unfortunately. They get no runs out of it. The only other run came on an Andrew McCutchen solo shot in the eighth inning, I want to say it was. And then, of course, the grand slam by Almaro later in the game off Cole Irvin. All the big runs in this game, all the runs that the Cubs were able to score in this game came by way of the long ball. Came back to haunt the Phillies yesterday, unfortunately. And then we had to sit through what I believe is the dumbest tradition in sports. Corniest, hokiest tradition in sports. This is the only thing that, for me, outranks the Seattle Seahawks raising that stupid 12th man banner before every game at home. It's the only one.
Hmm.
And that's the song Go Cubs Go that they sing. Oh, God. Go Cubs Go. Go Cubs Go. Having fun, Jamie?
I'm not going to lie. It kind of grew on me a little
stop
bit.
Stop it. You stop it. This is
it's
awful.
Catchy.
It is not...
Corny as hell.
It's
awful.
It's hypnotizing. Don't let it hypnotize you.
It's hypnotizing, I think.
Then you're hypnotized. You don't like
Cubs,
it.
Go.
Oh, stop. Oh, you have the voice of an angel. I'll never forget, about 6 years ago, I was at Wrigley. The Cubs won. Everyone starts saying, I had no idea this was a thing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.